An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Well, we are really studying this week on Abounding Grace one of the most important sections of Scripture, not only for understanding salvation, but to understand how great the depths of God's grace is. We just don't understand this like we should. We just don't appreciate this like we should. A rich young ruler had come to Jesus. He had run, he had bowed the knee, and he had asked Jesus for salvation. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You tell me what I need to do, Jesus. I want the life that you give. I will do it. And Jesus had crushed that man with the law. Jesus had set the law in front of the rich young ruler. The principle of the law, why it was given in the Old Testament, always was do this and live. If you are able to keep the law of God, it is God's standard of perfection, then hypothetically, if you could do it, you will be saved. Now, no one can. And so Jesus was drawing out of the rich young ruler a kind of cry that would say, help me, Lord. I cannot keep this standard. The rich young ruler walked away sad. Covetousness had filled him. He loved his possessions. He was not willing to count the cost. It was in the midst of all of this that the disciples ask a question. Who then can be saved? And Jesus answers it. No one can save themselves. Man does not have the strength. Man does not have the ability. Man does not have the power. But with God, it is possible. It's at that moment that Peter then voices a question that takes us right into the section we're studying this week on Abounding Grace. In verse 27 of Matthew chapter 19, Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Now, do you hear what Peter was asking? Lord, this guy left you. He didn't endure it. He didn't give up his riches. He didn't follow. Look at us. We've left families. We have left everything. We are following you. Therefore, what do we get? Now, Jesus is dealing with, very simply, Phariseeism. It's in all of us. I said yesterday, we are all recovering Pharisees. We love self-righteousness. We love to be confident in the flesh, confident in our own works. And so now what Jesus does is tell a parable about the reality of serving in his kingdom and what our attitude should be. The key to understanding the parable, as we left off yesterday, is in verse 30. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. What does he mean, that the first shall be last and the last first? I used to think that just meant, well, those who get saved at the last hour, like the thief on the cross. But when we look at the context here, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus was reacting against self-righteousness, to think that we deserve something for laboring in his kingdom, a kind of self-righteousness that despises God's mercy towards those who don't appear to deserve it as much because we have done so much. Jesus said a few chapters later, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It's as if Jesus is saying, if you think because you're doing something great in the kingdom and you're banking on that service for me, you will find yourself to be last. And those who humble themselves, who seem insignificant, who labor out of gratitude for the grace given to them, will be exalted over you. This is an amazing moment in the Gospels. Those who would despise grace will be last. Their hearts are evil. But those who are last, those who come with humbled, broken hearts to me, offering nothing, realizing their poverty, these will be first. We could put it in this terms. Peter, what if this rich young ruler comes back to me when he's an old man and he begins to labor in my kingdom? Do you think you deserve more than him? So Jesus tells this parable as a warning to those who trust in themselves as righteous. Verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Jesus describes a landowner, literally a housemaster, as one who went out early in the morning to find laborers for his vineyard. It's interesting in verse 2 that we have stated that the landowner agreed with the laborers for a denarius for a day, and he sent them into his vineyard. You don't find this with the others. These first had to agree on the price. A denarius, of course, in that day was a day's wage for the average laborer. But the thing that really strikes me here is the sort of coldness of the agreement. You get the idea that this is just some sort of cold contract. The only thing said about them is that they both had to come to an agreement of what the wages should be. And then upon that agreement, they are willing to work. Hey, pay us what we're worth. Now, this parable is not so hard to figure out. The landowner represents Christ. Christ is building his kingdom, his church. The vineyard represents that church. And the Lord has filled his vineyard, his church laborers, with a whole bunch of different types of people. You've got pastors, you've got elders, you've got Sunday school teachers, you've got all these different kinds of people working in the kingdom. And Jesus is here represented as tending it. And so we can see that he's very concerned about who labors in the vineyard. Because what we have up front are laborers in the vineyard who are there for all the wrong reasons. Now, I wonder how prevalent this sort of thing is in the church. This is striking right at Peter. Notice how Jesus' teaching confronts Peter. There are many laborers in the kingdom, when exposed, are pretty comfortable with their service. The first sort of person entering the vineyard are those who come in early in the vineyard and yet come not on the basis of grace, but presumption. They've not been touched by grace. Do they really understand grace? Do they get the gospel? Do they really understand the privilege of being in the vineyard? Or are they there because they've always been there? And they believe that working in the vineyard is theirs by right. You see, by doing this, Jesus is getting rid of a mentality in his disciples that was dangerous. So many approach God with vain self-righteousness. What sort of person would Jesus be speaking of? Well, look at what happened here to Peter. He had walked with Christ from the beginning. Like him, we can be baptized into all of this, have our convictions, sit in the pew for years. And the reality is that that place in Christ's vineyard is cold and contractual. It's empty. It's heartless. There's no real excitement over the landowner. There's no real overwhelmed heart to worship, to adore, to love this Jesus who has given his life for us. And the drawing near to God is with the lips, but the heart is far from him. And you see, dear listener, Jesus was really concerned about this. Trust me, it's this stuff, the heartlessness of it all, that kills a church's witness. And here's what hurts the most. What's presented here is that these had no real appreciation for the landowner. The great landowner had included them in his vineyard. And what they were servants of the Most High God. Were they really excited to be there? How does God see them? Well, the amazing thing about this parable is that these first people who enter the vineyard have to negotiate the work. They don't understand their need to be in Christ's vineyard. But when we come to verses 3 through 7, we have the direct opposite thing portrayed. The landowner himself seeks to add to his vineyard, and so he goes out at the third hour, and he saw some standing in the marketplace, and we read of him saying, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. And he went again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and he found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give, you will receive." I wonder what Peter was thinking at this moment. It's really remarkable. The emphasis on hours is what stands out. According to our hours, the landowner went out at 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. And what we find here is that there's no sort of bargaining that takes place. There's no agreement as to wages. Simply the statement, "Whatever is right, I will give to you." And we read this phrase, "So they went." Do you see, dear listener, what's presented to you? This is grace, all grace, sovereignly given. To become a laborer in Christ's vineyard is the greatest gift. To have a seat in his kingdom, to serve in his house, to labor in his vineyard. And that's what we want to see, that it wasn't so much that the labor what the laborers could offer to the landowner. It was that the landowner had come seeking for them to work in his vineyard. They were idle. It was the fact that the landowner had approached them. And what joy it was to have a place in that vineyard. I can't emphasize this enough. What a beautiful, beautiful section of scripture. The question that comes out here is, what do we think about the church today? Do we understand the privilege of being a part of it? What is our attitude? You see, many people come in later. Have you ever seen this? They come in later into the kingdom, and they are so thankful to come late in life into the house of God. They love to worship. They're excited, they're filled with the joy of the Lord, and they're immensely thankful that the Lord had been so gracious to bring them into his kingdom. The danger for us who have been raised in this, the danger for us who have had all this, the danger for us who've been there for quite a while, in all of our service and all of our working and all of our actions, that we forget that the Lord graciously reached down and pulled us off at some point. And that the grace that we've received is something that should overwhelm us. We don't deserve anything, dear friends. We can't work our way into the kingdom. Ultimately, it's God who came to seek us. And if you're in the vineyard today, you should be overwhelmed with the grace that he has given to cover you with the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Show me a Christian who's excited about that. I'll show you a vibrant, joyful place of Christians who love the Lord. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.